I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello, Puckleonians, and welcome to episode 38 of the Puckle TCG Cast. Puckle, of course, stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name our fearless leader Thatch came up with. Now, That time of every 3 months have come, and that time is the review of Crimson Invasion, the newest set for the Pokemon TCG, and is it in the same ballpark as the other recent, you know, sets? We've had one great set after the another for at least this season. Does Crimson Invasion actually has the same warrant being excited for? We don't know. We're going to definitely cover that. But first, going to introduce my fine, fine co-host. Some say that this trainer won his first Pokemon tournament with a deck of Uno cards. It's Basket.
True story. True story.
And also, some say that this man has such bad luck with opening packs, he can't even pull a pink Starbust. It's Gator.
That's true. I always get the yellow ones. It's the worst. I have the worst pack pulls ever.
We should team up. I love the yellow ones.
Oh, man, you're not human. What's wrong with you?
They're good, man.
So first, before we do head out for the news, let's just start this episode like we should start it. What have you guys been playing? What decks have you been piloting? And what you've been doing in the Pokemon TCG? Let's start with you, Basket. What have you been up to?
Well, so... I'm still playing my friggin' sweet Galusopod deck and enjoying the heck out of that.
Nice.
I've been playing a lot of theme decks, actually, like just for funsies. Because I can't remember what it was, but there was something in the what's it called? That's when you just do the verses. And you'll get those, you'll get cards, or you'll get tickets and stuff like that. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, the ladder, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I've been going on the ladder, and I've been enjoying doing that with theme cards. It's fun.
Yeah, it always is. What about you, Gator? We are basically in the presence of royalty, Pokemon royalty here with Gator.
I don't know about royalty yet, but I am now a stage one judge. I took my test the other day, and just yesterday they approved me to be a stage one judge. So this means I am now qualified to be the head judge at League Cups and other events like that. And then, yeah, so it's pretty exciting. It's a new step forward for me. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Besides that, I have been playing around with some fun decks. I recently threw together the Sylvalia list that Omnipoke's been testing online, just so I can get some reps in with it. And I also put together a Alolan Muk GX deck. They're not great, either of them, so far, but I've been enjoying playing them. So that's what it's been here lately, has just been testing fun new decks. And Expanded, I'm just playing Speed Darkrai.
Every, Yeah, I don't know what it is, but this year I've definitely found myself playing more of the fun type decks, or the funds that are actually not that good, more than the prime tier one decks that are going around. So you guys know I stream TCG and the Puckle Podcast at Twitch, and I have a bunch of decks, and I find myself going back to the ones that almost no one plays, like Lycanroc or Lapras, and complete, even though I have Gardevoir, I have Golisopod, I have those decks built and ready to go, I have Tapu Bulu, but it's just the ones that people hardly use, and the ones that hardly win anything are the ones that I just find myself going back to again and again and again, because they're just fun. It's fun to use these decks for two reasons. Number one, people usually don't expect them, because everyone's using Gardevoir. Everyone's using the big name decks out there. So whenever they encounter one of these lesser known decks, they're kind of like scratching their heads. And number two, it's more puzzle solving, because you know that your deck is not as strong as, you know, your opponent. So you got to look for ways of how you can actually make it work. And to me, that's just, it's so much fun. It really is the best thing ever. Now, with that, we should move ahead to the news. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and drop that baby. Now, please, before you actually drop any babies at home, that was just a metaphor. I wasn't actually expecting you to drop any babies out there, so please don't email me furious when something like that happens. But what is dropping is the announcement, of course, that we already know the next set that is going to come, because of course we do. We haven't even reviewed the latest one when we already know that the second one is heading our way. And that is Ultra Prism. It's our newest set, coming at February. You see February 2nd. It's over 150 cards that will be featured in the set, and it's a combination of cards from Japan's December Sun and Moon 5 set, in addition with some exclusive cards from Sun and Moon 4 Plus. And these exclusive cards would include some golden reprints of Solgaleo and Lunala GX. There will be, of course, 10 Pokemon GX in the set, 5 in which will be Ultra Beast, much like Sun and Moon 5 in Japan. And the mascot is, of course, Dongwind's Necrozma and Duskmane Necrozma, which are the Pokemon featured in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, heading our way in November 17. It will be 18 trainer cards, which is a lot, with 3 special energy cards. That's more than usual when it comes to trainer cards and energies, special energies. So that should be very exciting. And a brand new mechanic called Prism Star Cards. 6 of the Prism Star Cards will be made for this set. We don't have more information other than that. So I throw it out to my panel here. What do you guys think? What are your expectations? Skater, let's start with you. What do you expect coming from Ultra Prism?
I think that these Prism Star Cards are either going to be something like the Ace Specs, where they're like a special trainer, or they're going to be some sort of like Z-move attack that you can attach to a Pokemon, and much like the power memory that you can attach to Zygarde. That's my two theories so far.
Both of them sound amazing. As you guys, our frequent listeners know, we've been clamoring to get Ace cards back in the game in Standard, because it really was a fun mechanic. People enjoy it. And really, if they do go that direction, that's going to be more than welcome, I'm pretty sure, for 80% of the player base, which really do miss those Ace cards. What about you, Basket? What are your expectations?
Honestly, I'm just hoping that it's going to be a better set than this one.
That actually has good Ultra Beasts?
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely a fair assessment to actually want.
I can't say I'm expecting it, but I will say that I'm hoping for it.
Yeah, well, that's spoilers, because we're going to hit that to let you guys home what we think about these Ultra Beasts that are out in Crimson Invasion. But before that, we do have some championship gold coming out. Gator, what's heading our way?
All right, so the Worlds 2017 decks are coming out on November 17th, much like everything else that's happening with Pokemon lately, that's the same day that Crimson Invasion becomes legal.
Sun, Ultra Moon.
Yeah, so it's going to be a Pokemon party. They've got the Masters first place, they've got the Masters runner-up, they've got the Seniors first place, and they've got one of the top eights from Juniors. So you've got a Gardevoir deck, Gallipot Garb, Decidueye, and Alolan Ninetales decks coming out. And each one of them is the full deck that the competitor used, except they are not legal for tournament play. They have different backs. And each set's going to come with a Worlds 2017 pin, a deck box, and a booklet. Again, these are not legal for competitive play. They're fun for playtesting and for proxies, but they are not legal for competitive play. You can't get four Tapu Lele's for that cheap.
You wish you could do that. For our new gamers at home, Gator, could you explain what a proxy is?
So a proxy card is just simply a card that you either print out or you make or you use in place of the legitimate card in your deck. A proxy can be as elaborate as something that you print out and paste to a card, or an officially printed card like this that has a different back which makes it illegal to play. It can be a Japanese card that's legal to play here, or it could be just you with a Sharpie and a piece of paper. Basically what players will do is they'll use proxies to test out decks before they spend the money to buy the cards.
So when it comes to that, it's definitely, if that piques your interest, is something that you could do, especially for you trainers. I know that investing in new cards to get a deck rolling and then at the end of the day not enjoying that deck is a huge gamble. But this definitely helps with that. I've always thought, like, it would be nice to get, like, full sets of proxies, which you technically can, just not in an official manner online. And so you could just play test with those, and then when you're ready to officially go head to tournaments, you can definitely invest the money in those cards. So that's headed our way in November 17th. Stay on the lookout for those. But it's not the only gifts that we're going to receive in November, at least Pokemon-wise, and at least in a strange way, there is a strange partnership. Basket. McDonald's wants to do what?
McDonald's. Toys and cards are coming to Happy Meals and stuff like that. So each card is going to be a reprint, but they're printed on special holofoil paper that's being used exclusively for the McDonald's promos and has been since 2011. And these are legal for tournament play. You don't have to buy a Happy Meal, but you can buy the toys with the promos separately.
Some say that McDonald's make these with the same pig goo as they do nuggets.
Well, hey, that's going to be on November 6th.
I just wanted to use that soundboard. That was the whole point of that bad joke first for me to do the drums. What you were saying, Gator?
I'm saying, like, if you're listening to this on the day it drops, this coming Monday is when the cards are coming to the Happy Meals. So I did this for the last ones they released. You can just walk right up to the counter and be like, hey, I want to buy some of the Happy Meal toys with the Pokemon cards. Nice. And they'll bring them out for you, and you can pick the ones you want and walk out with them. And the toys are kind of cool, too. They've got, like, a big Lunala and things, so...
No, yeah, and all the toys have improved in quality. I remember not too long ago, a co-worker of mine knows that I'm not just a Pokemon fan, but also a Nintendo fan, and she gave me one of those Mario plastic toys that lights up. It's, like, super legit. I have it in my desk. I love it. It's the quality... It's glad to know that the quality definitely has not... Dwayne across the years. So with that, we're going to end on the note that, of course, the European International Championship is coming up, and it's in London, and it's, you guessed it, November 17th to the 19th. This is the first international championship in a new season, which means that you hardly have any, if you're playing the VGC, you hardly have any time. I assume that you're not going to be able to play Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. And if you're playing the TCG, you've already had your time to test Crimson Invasion until then, although I doubt we'll see many Crimson Invasion cards in this tournament. This happened last year as well, where the European International comes in really, really early in the game, in the season, people have to scurry and get ready to our first big tournament. I'm super excited, honestly. I can't wait to see what tops in this tournament, because it will be the ground base of what we're going to see for the rest of the 2018 season. So I'm excited. I love where the meta is right now. So what do you guys think? Do you, Gator, do you think Gardevoir again? Do you think that Galissapot might beat it this time? What do you think you're going to expect from there?
I could probably, if I was going to walk into this tournament, my safe bet would be some sort of Drampagarb deck. It's really consistent. It's really good. Gardevoir and Drampagarb are probably the best decks in the format right now. Something could come up and surprise them. There are several different things that people are experimenting with as far as the metal end of things go to handle the Gardevoir matchup. But we have such a really diverse meta right now that it's almost impossible to say what's going to be in the top. But I would be surprised if we didn't see in top 8 Gardevoir and Drampagarb and Galissapod Garb and the other strong decks.
Yeah, definitely. We are, again, once more in a very healthy meta, and it's just exciting. What about you, Basket, before we finish the segment? What do you think might win? And don't say Galissapod, you bias man.
Well, to be completely honest, if I was going for a safe play, I would say Gardevoir. I mean, yes, there are some things that can counter it, but as far as their matchups against the other top decks, it can be pretty hard, and I feel like as long as those fans of Volcanion are going to keep going in, I don't think Eel's going to have much of a chance, really, because Volcanion's very strong.
It is being really strong. I'm surprised that decks like Alolan Ninetales have not really stopped Volcanion from pushing up, so that's always fun. So with that, we're gonna end our news section, because we're gonna go in, of course, guys, get your flip-flops, put your feet on the sand, because we're headed to beach. Which beach, you say? Well, none other than Topical Beach. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Topical Beach.
The wind in our faces, the sand on our feet, and of course the sun in our eyes. We are at Topical Beach, and our Topical Beach of the day is the review for Crimson Invasion. They have arrived, ladies and gentlemen. Beings from another dimension, beings from out of this world, are invading us. But are they really the threat we think they are? Or are they just like, yeah, well, thank you for coming, you can just go away. Let's see. Now, Crimson Invasion has hit the shelves and will be legal to play at November 17th. But should you even care? Let's see. Let's start. We start with a Pokemon that you will not expect. Kakuna. Now, Kakuna's interesting. It's a stage one, right? Evolves from Weedle. And why are we mentioning such a puny Pokemon with only 80 HP, weakness to fire, and 2 retreat costs? Well, because it has, for 1 grass energy, multiply. Search your deck for up to 3 Kakunas and put them on your bench. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's water clones from the Frogadier.
What are duplicates.
What are duplicates, thank you. That's very interesting. What do you guys think about that, Gator?
I think it's good, depending on getting a good Beedrill. Beedrill from Evolutions, which we have right now, and the Beedrill in this set, which we're not even going to talk about because it's not great. The Beedrill from Evolutions is probably the best one right now because it has that ability. Well, not an ability, the attack, where it does 40 times the number of Beedrill in play. So you max out at 160 for a grass and a colorless on a stage 2, though. So stage 2 becomes less scary with the Kakuna's ability to water duplicates, but This is definitely a card to throw in the back of the binder and just be like, maybe one day.
I mean, we still don't have a Beedrill GX, so maybe that will be the card that will determine Kakunas. By itself, it's difficult, like we just mentioned. Baskin, I know you haven't opinion yet, but it's difficult to rate this card because it's not a card to play as a main. You need it to evolve, and what it evolves to right now, it's not good. So it's hard to give this card a rating. But before that, Basket, what do you think about this Kakuna and the potential for it?
Well, so I definitely see potential in there. And some people who have been, you know, dying for a way to play Mega Beedrill might be able to put this in there and turn it into a stage 2 instead of a stage 3, essentially.
But Megas evolves from the EX Pokemon, and EX Pokemon are basics.
Yeah, you're right. I'm all in the GX thought process.
Mentality, yeah, we all been there.
About EXs, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just gonna have to agree with you guys. I mean, I think that it's interesting, and that if a Beedrill GX comes out, or even a stage 2 regular Beedrill that has some cool attack like Vespiquen or something like that, I could see some people running it. But right now it's just a cool theory.
Yeah. So we're gonna go ahead and, shall we even rate this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead with maybe effective.
Yeah.
What about you, Gator?
Effective.
Yeah, I think it's effective across the board, just because this is a known quantity, ladies and gentlemen. We know that this is an effective attack, because it's the whole reason people think that Greninja Break is a deck because of Greninja Break, or because of Greninja. No. Greninja Break is an attack because of Frigadier. It's a deck, sorry. It's a deck because of Frigadier. Frigadier makes that deck happen. The fact that you can put all these stage ones immediately on your bench, and then by next turn you can already evolve them into stage two, it's an incredibly powerful attack, and she'll never be underestimated. This is why this made it on the list. Even though it's stage 2 at the moment, it's not even that good. But the moment if they ever decide to do a Beedrill GX, whew, people should be fearing the Beedrill, which is something that no one has ever said before, ever. Now, let's move on to the next Pokemon. We're going to get a little bit Alolan with Alolan Marowak. Basket, take it away.
Alrighty. So, Alolan Marowak. Its first attack, for no energy cost at all, is Dance of Flames. For each energy attack to your opponent's Pokemon, attach a fire energy from your discard pile to your Pokemon in any way you like. And then its second attack is for 2 fire and a colorless. It's called Burning Boomerang. It does 70 times damage. Flip 2 coins. This attack does 70 damage for each heads. If either of them is heads, your opponent's active Pokemon is now burned. Second attack is pretty much garbage, but this Alolan Marowak could help out a lot.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's because you mispronounced the name. It's Burning Bone Meringue, okay? That makes it immediately better.
Oh, my bad. I'll withdraw my previous statement.
This is a world championship winner right here with Burning Bone Meringue. Interesting. I love that first attack. That first attack, for each energy attached to this book, to your opponent's Pokemon, attach a fire energy from your discard pile to your Pokemon in any way you like. This card begs to be put right in front of Gardevoir GX. What do you think, Gator?
I like this card's first attack. I really do. But right now, Fire decks are using Turtonator GX, which is effectively better in every way. Granted, this doesn't use your GX attack for the turn, but I don't know if it merits the space in the deck as a stage 1 for those decks, because it has to come active. It's got 2 retreat costs, which is significant when you're talking about, you know, sending it up in the active just to use this attack. With 100 HP, it's not taking a hit from much of anything in the format. So, I'm not sold on it, but it's definitely a move in a direction I like.
I definitely agree with you 100%. Really, Dance of Flames is interesting. I love that it has no energy needed in order to use it. That's super awesome. Now, if we are talking best case scenario, you put this on a Gardevoir, you can get 4 energies, 5 energies from your discard pile. Worst case scenario, 2. I mean, if you're fighting against Galizapod, it's useless, right? Because you're only going to get 1 energy off your discard pile to attach to any Pokemon. So it's very, the circumstances you could use it appropriately are less. And like Gator states, if it's a stage 1, that's automatically just difficult. compared to other options, as, for example, Turtonator GX. Basket, any last words on this Maralon and Marowak?
I find this being a lot more viable and expanded. Because, to my knowledge, there's not a super great way to... I mean, it is fire energy, which means that, you know, you have so many attacks.
Oh, wait, there's a misread on our part. In fact, my part. I'm pretty sure Gator got this. It's not your opponent. It's not just your opponent active Pokemon. It's your opponent's Pokemon in general.
Right.
That's a little different. Sorry.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah. It makes a huge difference on what I just said, because I was just talking about the fact that it was your active Pokemon only. No, this is all of your opponent's Pokemon. So that's different. Now, that makes it be a little bit more useful in general. Not that much, but better. Continue, Basket. I'm sorry. I just want to correct myself, because I realized that I misread this card.
Yeah. So, essentially, it works well with fire, because fire is constantly discarding. Well, typically discarding their fire energy. There's no real good way right now to discard cards of your choosing in the standard format.
Other than, of course, Professor Sycamore and Ultra Ball.
Right.
Well, remember that we also have Scourging Earth with Fire. Fire does have actually a few options to discarding energies.
Now that I think they're usually playing Starmie too.
Yeah, and Starmie as well, yeah. Oh, wait, that's... Yeah, you're right, yeah. So there's a few options.
Yeah. I like this card. I'm going to have to see how it plays. Better people than me are going to find good ways to do it.
Ways of make it work.
But right now I see it as... I know I'm jumping the gun here, but since I'm the last one, I see it as effective. And that's about it.
Okay. Okay, you're a little bit more optimist than I am, I guess. I'm gonna give it not very effective. I like that first attack, but their Turtonator really just looks at it and say, well, I can grab 5 energies for 1 fire at any time. Granted, it takes your whole GX attack, but fire right now, though, doesn't have many good GX attacks that you want to actually use instead of that. So I give it a not very effective. Gator, last call. I mean, last world.
Not very effective. I mean, it's interesting, but I don't think it's fast enough in the current format.
Yeah. So there you have it, Alolan Marowak. Please try again. Come back as a psychic, as in ghost, and let's see what we can get from that. So we're gonna move from fire to a little bit something more cooler, water, with everyone's favorite pair, Magikarp and Gyarados GX. Gator, take it away.
All right, so you guys know the deal with Magikarp. It's always a water type with 30 hit points. It sucks. It's weak to lightning. It's got 1 retreat cost. But this Magikarp is special, and it got printed 1 rotation too late, in my opinion, because it has the ability Submerge. As long as this Pokemon is on your bench, prevent all damage done to this Pokemon by attacks, both yours and your opponent's. Then it's got 1 attack for a water double colorless. Search your deck for a card that evolves from this Pokemon and put it onto this Pokemon, evolve it, then shuffle the deck. So that's actually really good for it, too, being able to get up into a Gyarados. But this card would have paired so well with the Gyarados that's needed to keep the Magikarp alive on the bench to do damage.
The rogue Gyarados, as they call it.
Yeah, the Decidueye would just pick them off so quickly. Which this wouldn't protect against, because that's an ability, but still, there was several... Tapu Koko, for example, was pretty much a death knell for this deck, and expanded and things like that. So, with this card, I could see this deck making a comeback and expanded. But we have a new Gyarados as well. The Gyarados GX is a water type with a whopping 240 hit points on a stage 1.
And I thought Alolan Ninetales GX was a pain in my butt.
That is huge. It is water double colorless, does 70 damage. Water and 4 colorless, that's right, that's 5 energy total. Draconic Disaster does 100 damage. And if there's a stadium card in play, it does 100 more damage than discards the stadium card. So you're talking Primal Groudon type of attack here.
Reminiscent of Primal Ground. Yep.
And then its GX attack for a water energy, one single water energy, Dreadstorm GX, you discard an energy from each of your opponent's Pokemon. So it's weak to lightning, and it's got a retreat cost of 4. Mm-hmm. This card is bonkers.
Yeah, I like it a lot, honestly. Wow. Yes, 5 energies. People are going like, that's way too much. You know, yeah. But we do have Aqua Patch. We do have Max Elixir. Right now, it's
less relevant because Max Elixir has to hit a basic. And I don't know how I feel about powering up a Magikarp and letting my opponent take that precious 30 hit point knockout.
That is true, but it is 4 double colorless, which 4 colorless, which means that 2 double colors does make the able to do it. Although I know we are in a meta where currently special energies are easily discardable.
But also easily findable with Shining Mew.
Exactly. So, and we already know that this 100 plus 100 more if you have a stadium is pretty legit. Primal Groundon ran with that attack. It's really good. And that whopping 240 HP on a stage 1 is ridiculous.
Muscle Dumbbells puts it at 280.
Oh my god, 280 in that HP. I can't deal with this. This is ridiculous. And people are saying, oh, but the retreat cards is 4 energies. Yeah, well, we have Manaphy in the meta still. If you attach a water energy, it already retreats for free. It's crazy. I love this card. I love it so much. I mean, I hate it, but I love it. Basket, what is your two cents?
So, I think this card, so you were talking about the 5 energy attachment. And this card, so there is Aqua Patch, but also, it's only 1 waterless and then 2 double colorless. So theoretically, if you were able to get the, 2 double colorless cards in your hand, you would be able to power this thing up and start swinging after 3 turns. So there's that possibility as well.
Yeah. Also, we shall not forget about Kiawe.
Yes. The GX attack, I think, is absolutely spectacular. I think it's awesome. Pull back your opponent's setup is awesome to me. And I think...
Yeah, it depowers Gardevoir.
And I think you guys already mentioned it. But it's discard an energy, and so it's not making any distinction. So it's any special energy or anything like that, and it's just gone. And sure, there are ways to pull those back out, but that means they have to play cards that they would not want to play at that point in time in order to pull those things back out. And I think it's potentially devastating, and I think it's an awesome card.
Our resident judge, Gator, what is your feelings on this?
I'm so torn on it. Right now, being able to Aqua Patch in a DCE, that's not incredibly hard. Alolan Ninetales does it pretty consistently to get a water and DCE on an attack, and 70 damage is perfect math for a lot of these basics that are running around. So even while you're getting set up for the second attack, it gets really
You're still
gross.
Hitting hard.
Yeah, you're really gross.
And you can knock out a Volcanion, a baby Volcanion with that.
Yeah, easily. And then also you throw a Choice Band on it, and you're knocking out a regular Volcanion.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, a Volcanion GX, yes.
Yeah, Volcanion GX. And then Draconic Disaster, if there's a stadium in play and a Choice Band on it, you're knocking out a Gardevoir GX. Of course, Gardevoir GX is hitting you for 5 times 150 damage clean.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah, 180 technically, because they're going to have one energy attached. So Gardevoir might look like looking down the barrel at you, but I don't know. I'm so conflicted on this card. I love it, but I don't love it.
I feel the same way. It's just... The HP is phenomenal. It has more HP than Gardevoir, and Gardevoir's a stage 2. It's ridiculous. And Water has so much support right now. I mean, remember, Brooklet Hill is a thing. We can grab those magic carps at any point and these Gyarados using Brooklet Hill.
You can't grab the Gyarados. You can only grab basics off Brooklet Hill. But
Wait, Brooklet Hill? Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was any water and fighting Pokemon.
No, it's
just, I might be mistaken. Sorry. Oh, it's basic? Oh, sorry. But you can get those magic carps really fast, right? No, you're completely right. Yes, it is just basic. Now I remember. And you can get those magic carps really hard, really fast. You get Aqua Patch, you can get those energies literally, fairly fast as well. You got Manaphy, which gives you free retreat costs. You got Lana, which will heal you a bit. You got so much support for water right now. I mean, it's heavy, it's big, it's kind of clunky, but you can make it work. That's the thing. I like it. I like it. It's we were talking about those non tier decks that are looking very fun to play. This seems to be going to be a very, very fun deck to play. I mean, attach a choice ban. You set it up correctly with Draconic Disaster. You're already one hit KOing, if you have a Stadion in play, those Gardevoir GXs. The math is there. The support is there. The way to make it work is there. I really like this Gyarados. So with that said, my opinion is super effective for my boy here.
I'm gonna say super effective.
What about you? I mean, basket.
Just that GX attack for me personally. Yeah. If it's able to be if someone wanted to tech that into their deck, just that alone, I would want to say that it was super effective.
And my boy Gator.
I'm
going to
give it effective. I saved my super effective for things that are going to make an immediate impact. I think this card needs something else to go with it, but.
Gotcha.
Water's in a really good place right now. If Rough Seas was still a thing, this card would be so good.
Yes. Wasn't there a water Pokemon right now that could heal? Like, oh, Manaphy, baby Manaphy.
Yeah, right? But that's really bad. Don't play that.
Yeah, I know. It just reminded me of that. Anyway. So there you go, guys. Two super effective, one effective for our boy, our dragon wannabe man, Gyarados GX here. Coming up strong. I mean, I have large expectations, so let's see if it meets it. But we're not going to stop there, because we're going to move from one big dragon to one big golem? It's Regigigas. Now, Regigigas here, let me just scroll down to get it, because we're almost there. So how are you guys doing tonight? Oh, there we go. So Regigigas here, and all the way down in the colorless section. 180, this is not a GX, this is a basic Pokemon called white. Obviously, I just said white. Like, I transported myself 10 years in the past while I was playing Magic. Colorless, 180 HP, with one ability and one ridiculous attack. Which type of ridiculous, good or bad, we'll see. So, the ability though, Seal of Antiquity. And I really deserve a major Nobel Prize for being able to pronounce that correctly on first try. So, mild applause, please. Mild applause. Thank you. This Pokemon can attack unless Regirock, Regice, Registeel are on your bench. And then we have the attack. 5 colorless. Yes, 5. Much like Gyarados. Is it as good though? 160. And you discard any stadium card in play. Spoiler alert. No, it's not as good. And then weakness, fighting, and retreat cost of 4. Gator. Regigigas?
I say let's go down all the Regis. Let's look at these as a group, because with
and
that,
then come back to it.
And then come back to it, because this is like they're all going to be reliant on the other ones. So
I like where this is going. So with that, let's see if the other homeboy Golem guys can actually back up this main bro. Let me basket Regice. Quick.
All the way up in the water.
All right.
We're just scrolling. I'm not even going to edit this because it's fun.
HP 130. Ability, Iceberg Shield. If you have Regirock in play, prevent all effects of attacks, including damage, done to this Pokemon by your opponent's Stage 2 Pokemon's attacks. Or a Water and a Double Colorless, it has Frost Smash, which does 70 damage. Weakness, times 2 to Steel, and no resistances, Retreat cost 3.
Interesting, but wait, there's more. Gator, Regirock.
Oh boy, we got Regirock. It's your boy, Regirock, fighting type, 130 hit points. Its ability is Rock Peak Growl. Your Registeel's attacks do 10 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon before applying weakness and resistance. And then for a two fighting and a colorless, Hard Swing does 110 damage, and the attack's damage isn't affected by resistance. It is weak to grass and has a retreat cost of 3.
And of course, we have one more, and that's good old Registeel. And basic, of course, metal with HP 130. It's 2 attacks. First, for 1 metal, Turbo Arm. 30 damage, attach a basic energy from your discard pile to one of your bench Pokemon. And then its attack, second attack, 2 metal, 1 colorless, Iron Hand. 90 damage. If Regice is in your bench, heal 30 damage from this Pokemon. Well, we've already revealed all 4 bros
the Regice in squad. One.
Squad.
It's a squad. It's a squad. The Regi Squad. Basically, they try to do the Zodiac thing in Yu-Gi-Oh, but using the Regi. Where if you have all four, you might have something great in your hands. But isn't that great? Let's roll back to scroll down, guys. Let's just keep on scrolling and go back to Regigigas. Now, we already read what all the Regis do. Regigigas' ability Seal of Antiquity doesn't attack unless all of them are on your bench. Right? But its attack is still 5 energies. Giant Stomp, 160. And you do discard a card in play if one is them. Gator, what do you think now that we have knowledge of the other 3?
Right. So now that we know about the other 3, I'm going to introduce you guys to a little card called Garbodor with Garbotoxin, which shuts off that ability, and you no longer have to worry about putting the other 3 on your bench.
Oh, you are 100% right.
So, here we go. Regigigas Garb, baby, with max elixirs. you could do something.
Wow, what a
really
runaround.
You throw a choice pin on this baby. You're hitting 190 on a basic. It's so good. Like, who even needs the other ones, right? That's what I'm saying.
I hate you, Gator.
Or okay, fine. You don't want to do Garb. That's cool. You want to be like, oh man, I'm anti-meta. Alolan Muk. Shuts off all basics abilities. Ooh. Can't even get Heal Blow off. They have to like
Lysander. I'm laughing so hard. I hate
but
you.
Really.
But like, you're right. No, you're right.
It's so good. Like, this is awesome. It's 5 colorless, but who cares about 5 colorless? Throw some DC, throw some max elixirs. The only other Regi that's worth his salt is Registeel, and that's mostly for that first attack, being able to accelerate steel energy for 1. That's really useful. Yeah. Especially if you're starting, like, your opponent starts a Ralts, and they don't get that bench set up, you're basically just taking a donk on it. Like, it's fun. So.
Yeah, no, it looks a lot of fun. That 5 energies, though, it kind of scares me. You are right, though. I mean, I just gave reasons to why Gyarados GX is good, so it will be kind of hypocritical of me to say that that doesn't work here as well. But Gyarados has 240 damage. This has 180. That's
right,
not much
but
of
what's
a
hitting it?
Either.
Okay, but most things for their math to hit 180 on things includes a choice band. Choice band. Yeah. This doesn't care about choice band. Choice band doesn't boost damage against this.
Doesn't boost it. Yeah, you're 100% right. Wow, no, this is better than I thought. You completely changed my mind on
it
this.
It does get one shot, but if it's fully loaded, it gets one shot by Gardevoir, though. Gardevoir with 1 fairy energy just knocks it out, so.
That is true. That is definitely true. That's. What about you, Basco? Oh. What do you think with this?
By the way, one more thing. Kyawe.
Yes. Same thing as Gatos. Kia Wiz is
the thing. So for me,
Basket?
Gator's whole bullshit setup that he wanted us to do. sorry, yeah.
I'm gonna have to beat that out.
Basically, I was looking at it and I was like, wow, this is complete trash. Why is this here? Because I was looking at the fact that two out of the three of them needed two of the same energies. So I was like, well, you can't even use rainbow energy. So this is just total trash. And then he comes out with the Garvador thing, and I hadn't even been thinking about that. And I was like, wow, okay. This is getting
somewhere. To the point that this set came out, and I didn't even bother reading Reggie Gigas, assuming that it was just going to be
that it started with the bad from the get go. I was like, slow start.
Wow. Yeah. No. That. You're right, Gator. That totally changes my perspective. I do have another concern, though. It is colorless, no super effectives, although why does it need? I mean, it's pretty much hitting 160, 170 if you choose a Fighting Fury belt on it, or 190 if you're fighting GX Pokemon or EX Pokemon and you attach a Chorusband. So it's dealing really good damage. Kiawe will guarantee you four energies attached to that big boy immediately. Man, I'm trying to look for like ways for me to say that it might not be as good, but fighting what deck Lycanroc, like I said, is the only fighting energy that fighting deck that I can think of, and that's hardly ever played, so it doesn't have to worry about any weaknesses at the moment, other than Lycanroc.
Well, we got our boy Buzzwole. We're gonna talk about later. That might be a thing. So.
Oh, okay, okay.
And Gardevoir, in addition to one-shotting it with one single energy, it does run Gallade, so...
That is true. But still, even though, I still like it. I'm gonna give... Gator, you just blew me away with this. I'm gonna give it a super effective. What about you, Gator?
I feel like my deck is a gimmick, so I'm going to give it a not very effective. I'm going to buy the cards and see if I can make it work. Don't get me wrong. I just am not... I just know how theory mongering works. Like, on paper, it sounds great, but I know as soon as I get the cards in my hand, I'm going to start Alolan Grimer every time, and it's not going to work. Like, it's going to be...
Well, you're the judge, definitely. Okay, what up? Uh-huh, go ahead.
Try it, guys. Have fun.
What about you, Basket?
Because I think it's I think it's fun. Like, ooh, and to me,
we got one from
that's each. An effective card. Effective to me is playable, and not the best, but playable. And I think this is definitely playable for some funds.
I really like this because we have all views. I see it, and I immediately think this is going to be a blast to play, thanks to all of Gator's information there. Gator looks at it in a very official, very competitive nature, where it's, and he gives the review, and then there comes Basket in between, where it's like, yeah, it's fun to play, it's not competitive, it's effective, it's nice to have. So there you have it, guys. Regigigas. We can, I guess we all agree that all the other Regis are not very effective.
Except for Registeel. like, I really want to harp on that fact. Registeel is going to be good in a Steel deck. Like, if you can start Registeel or whatever you want with, like, the energy acceleration, that's really good. That's on my buy list.
That's true, in the middle. Oh, that's true, because it's basically baby Yveltal for
Steel. That was a must-have in a lot of dark decks, so.
You're right. Yeah. So with that, yes, Reggie Ice, Reggie Rock, not very effective, all of them across the board. Now, Reggie Steel, now that you brought that to light as well, reminded us, that is a great attack. For one metal, 30 damage, and you can get an energy from your discard pile to one of your bench, that's baby Veltal. That's a super effective in my book.
Yes, or about Reggie Steel?
And Basket?
Yeah, I'd say super effective.
Yeah. Perfect. So there you have it, ladies and gents. Those were the Regis. Two out of four of them are good. So we gotta give them credit to for giving us a 50% there, at the very least.
And they have a tool coming out in the next set, so that's gonna help them out too.
Yes.
I forget what it does. What? I think it adds it reduces damage by 30, or it adds 30 damage. There's something with damage involved.
For Reggie's specifically?
Yeah, for the Reggie specifically.
Interesting. I haven't read that card yet. I've been disconnected for the past 2 weeks, so. Anyway, coming back to this, we're going to go ahead for the next one. We're moving on from these golems into a... Don't hold yourself. Another golem. It's Alolan Golem GX, and I love how that rolls off the tongue. So Alolan Golem GX. Anyway, basket, guide, take
HP
it away.
250. For a lightning and two colorless, it can do hammer in, which does 80 damage. For two lightning and two colorless, it has super electromagnetic tackle, and it does a base 200 damage and 50 damage to itself. Then for the same cost, two lightning and two colorless, it does heavy rock GX, 100 damage. Your opponent can't play any cards from their hand during their next turn.
Love that GX attack. So not sure about everything else.
Metal for retreat cost.
Yeah. So, I guess I should start right now, this time. Not loving first two attacks at all. Not loving the retreat cost, especially on electric. The weakness is fine, like we just specified before. Fighting is not that common right now. Resistant to metal. It could protect you against Metacross. Metagross GX. That GX attack is amazing. 100 in damage, but your opponent can't play any cards on his next turn. Yes, please, I'll have two of those. Unfortunately, it's a GX attack, so that means I can only have one. 250 is a decent amount for a stage 2, but still, it's only the GX attack that speaks to me. I'm conflicted. Not even. I mean, great GX attack. Bad everything else. What about you, Basket?
I think amazing. But unfortunately, it is a stage 2, which means it's going to be a lot of setup to get that thing going. We don't have anything, to my knowledge, that can really accelerate it other than a rare candy. But that would mean that you would be...
You mean the evolution. I'm so sorry. Yes, continue. So yeah, rare candy. Sorry.
I mean, you don't want, if this is nothing better than a tech card, and you don't want to be using, exactly. You don't want to be using.
It's a very expensive tech card.
Yeah, and you don't want
to
be using.
It's a stage 2 and 4 energies in order to pull it off. Because it's not even the energies that I'm worrying about, because we do have Fika Vault in the meta, right? Although we're talking about two stage 2s in one deck, which already is a bad idea. So the energy acceleration is there.
No, that's all right.
The effects of the other two attacks. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you, Basket. Keep going.
The fact that this amazing GX attack is on a stage 2 that is not playable, it's depressing to me.
Yeah. But hey, wait for it, because our boy Gator here might blow us away. Gator, what do you think?
Y'all are ridiculous. He's got a sweet mustache like my friend Basket. Super effective. Look at him.
That is a sweet mustache for sure.
If you put that card down in front of your opponent, they're going to be too distracted by that sweet mustache, and they're going to be like, "Wow, Scoop, you get the game."
Oh yeah, it's going to be like Freddie Mercury as a Pokemon?
No. In all seriousness, this card's going to look great in your binder. That's where it's going to stay.
It's just like amazingly good, even for its cost. I mean, 4 energies, 2 lightnings, 2 colorless, 100 damage only, but you block your opponent from playing any cards on his deck. Yeah, amazing. Everything else just sucks, except for the HP. But
I mean, it's only amazing if your opponent's not set up. If they've got a set up attacker on the bench, then it's not amazing. Plus, it's an emo kid and hurts itself. Like, it's just not
I mean, there is there is the attachment. I always forget the name because no one plays this card. No. The it's a tool that blocks you from your damage.
Oh, that's not a thing anymore.
It's rotated out.
Yeah, it's expanded. You're thinking of what's his name?
I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a thing anymore.
Well, anyway, okay, so that's how much I know about that card. I've never played it in my life. I just randomly remember it every once in a while and then just realize that it's no longer playable. Anyway, so yeah, not very effective across the board here for Alolan Golem. So sorry, Golem. Try again next time. Good GX attack, though.
Protection Cube from Flashfire is what you were looking
for. Protection Cube, yep, there we go. Anyway, moving on to the next, we're going to go ahead and tackle one of my favorite Pokemon of all time, a boy Gengar. Take it away, Gator.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to tackle a Gengar. They're scary and ghostly. And since we're recording on Halloween... Also, you go right
through them because they're immune to normal.
That's true, and I'm far from normal. Anyway, this is a Gengar. It's a psychic with a hit points of 130. Obviously, it's a stage 2 that evolved from Haunter. And it has the ability, Gnawing Curse... Whenever your opponent attaches an energy card from their hand to one of their Pokemon, put 2 damage counters on that Pokemon. It's got an attack for a psychic and double colorless, fade to black, 70 damage. Your opponent's active Pokemon is now confused, weak to dark, resistant to fighting, and no retreat cost on this guy.
It's quite interesting. Interesting. Let's start with you this time around. What do you think about this game?
If you look through the evolution line, both Ghastly and Haunter have ways to attack and put damage counters on the opponent's Pokemon, so it kind of, sort of reminds me a little bit of Golbat from a few years ago.
In a way. Right. Yeah, so the Golbat didn't require you to
attack.
The
way it seems like it's set up is that it's supposed to, as you're evolving, you're supposed to be able to put damage counters on it and blah, blah, blah. But like you said, you know, it's not an ability, so it's not nearly as competitive or worth your time in that regard. I think that if you're able to set this thing up, it could punish decks like Gardevoir, but I don't think that this is enough to really do much.
Yeah. Gator, what about you?
I think you could come up with some cute devolve plays with it, too. Like, they get cocky and attaching their energy in Gardevoir, and then you send out a Espeon EX to devolve all the Pokemon and take cheeky knockouts that way. Gengar has a lot of fun abilities and attacks that are currently legal. The Creepshow Gengar, for example, takes knockouts if something has 3 damage counters on it. So yeah. This might potentially see some play if someone can figure out a way to make it a little bit tankier. Because 130 hit points, you're getting one shot by most things. But that retreat cost of 0 is pretty spicy. Also, this ability stacks. So if you've got 2 or 3 of these Gengars on the bench, you're starting to get some serious numbers with those damage counters.
But can you get that knockout? That's the thing. That's my question, is whether or not you can get that knockout. Gengar has always been, at least as far as I can remember, this Pokemon that has always very, very creative abilities and attack, just like Gator just said. It's just very special way, weird ways, not even special, just weird and interesting way to attack. But he's never been able to have like a finishing move, like a move that you say you can finish him off with that. And I see that in this Gengar as well. It's like, yes, you're totally right. You have 2 Gengars, that's 40 damage every time he decides to play a energy. But how do you finish him off? That's the thing. And I just don't see that with this Gengar. I mean, Psychic, maybe Mewtwo GX is a thing. It's not, but maybe it's a thing. But I don't see it being that powerful. This would be stage 1 at the very least, I would totally recommend it. But as a stage 2, I wish that Fade to Black attack did more than just 70 damage and then confuse your opponent. I really do. Of course, that other Gengar does knock out with 30, with just 3 damage counters on it, but that means that you would have to have at least two of these Gengars on in your bench, and then a third Gengar being that Gengar that would knock it out. It's just too much setup. I just don't see it happening. So with that
cool
basket,
ability,
what do you think about this Gengar? What's your review?
I really want a playable Gengar again. So
yeah. What about you, Gator?
Not very effective.
Same with me. Not very effective. So we will. Not very effective for poor Gengar. One of my favorite Pokemons. Can't catch a break. Hopefully we will get a Gengar GX that will just completely blow us all away. And it's going to be amazing. Now, we still have more, ladies and gentlemen. You guys know how the drill. Review episodes are long. I'm sorry. We can't help it. But I know you guys like it. So we're going to catch a quick break here. Go some for some commercials. When we come back, we're going to continue reviewing Crimson Invasions for you guys. So until then, we'll be right back after these messages.
Beat up Pidgeons, Pidgeot Emporium. We got Pidgeys, Pidgeotos, Pidgeass, and all your basic flying normal type Pokemon. Need a Farfetch'd? Got it. Need a Doryo? Got it. Need a Staravia? Got it. Need a P-Dub? Got it. Need an average flying type Route 1 exclusive Pokemon? We got it. One more time. That's Peter Pidgeons, Pidgeot Emporium. One final time. That's Peter Pidgeons, Pidgeot Emporium. Go check us out today and tell them Puckle TCG Cast sent you for a 20% discount. Wowee! A 20% discount? No, make that a 25% discount. Do I have to make a 30? There it is. 30% discount. And so for that 30% discount, Peter Pidgeon's Pidgeot Emporium. If we don't have it, it is an average.
And we are back to our review of Crimson Invasion. The newest set in the Puckle TCG. In the Pokemon TCG. And now we're going to start heading on those really weird Ultra Beasts coming from another dimension out of the world. Starting with Nihilego GX. Nihilego, being psychic, at HP 180, has an ability and 2 attacks. It's a first ability, Empty Light, which is kind of depressing. When you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench during your turn, you may leave both active Pokemon confused and poisoned. Interesting. Then we have a attack, 3 psychic energies, luck up 120, the defending Pokemon can't retreat during your opponent's next turn. And then we have Symbiote GX, 3 psychic energy as well. At the top two cards from your opponent's deck to their prize cards. Its weakness is psychic, retreat cost of 2. Let's discuss. Gator, let's start with you.
Okay, so remember how I told you guys I was playing Alolan Muk GX at the beginning of this? This is going to be awesome for leaving 2 status conditions and hitting a clean 150. There's a card called Chaos Tower right now that protects you from the ability, and there's also cards like
from both Confuse
exactly.
And Poison.
And there's cards like Professor Pokemon Center Lady and things like that to deal with it, to hurting yourself. Otherwise, I think the attacks are too expensive. The Ultra Beasts have some sort of GX attack that works with the prizing system. I think adding 2 prizes is kind of bonkers. So that's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. So you can effectively make it an 8-card game if you're playing your cards right.
If you're evil enough.
So... but 3 psychic though, man, that's a lot of psychic. And right now, psychic type is not the best type to be because there's a lot of things that punch you in the face really hard.
Not to mention Mew. Starting with Mew.
So yeah, I don't know. My general answer to all of these GXs in the set is, that's pretty much the sum up.
Yeah. What about you, Basket?
So, if it didn't have this extreme cost, I think adding 2 cards to the opponent's deck or sorry, to their price cards would be pretty crazy. So I think it's about right. But the fact is, I mean, it's a basic Pokemon, and having it on your, like, teching it in there and having it on your bench, and loading it up over time, I don't think would be too big of an issue. Plus, I mean, being able to leave it confused and poisoned just, like, by just setting it down gives you a reason to put it down in the first place. If you're running enough energy, and you're using a psychic deck, I would say why not put one in your deck, you know, just in case you're able to set it up.
Yeah. I mean, Lunala GX could help with the fact that its ability allows you to transfer energies between Pokemon, and it is a psychic Pokemon, so you can take advantage of that. It's GX attack is pretty legit. I mean, you are making your opponent have to draw 8 prizes in order for him to win. That's kind of legit. Its ability is pretty good, considering that there are ways around it. Gator just mentioned Chaos Tower. That was the right. Will protect you from both confused and poison if that side is obviously directed towards you. Its attack is garbage, so its single non-GX attack is garbage, so don't even think about using that one. I do see it maybe being used in, like I said, Lunala GX decks might, because it does make it easier for you to grab those 3 psychic energies in order to use Symbiote GX. Otherwise, I do not see it moving along that very well. How about Gator? Let's give it a rating. What do you give it?
The ability makes it splashable, so I'll give it an effective.
Yeah. What about you, Basket?
I agree with that. The ability and the potential to fire off the GX attack and just completely change the tone of the game, I'd give it an effective.
I'll give it an effective as well. The first Ultra Beast that we reveal here, ladies and gentlemen, it is an effective Nihilego GX, which is kind of awesome because Nihilego EX is my favorite Ultra Beast, so there you have it, guys. It could be good. Let's see what you guys do at home with them. I know you guys can come up with way better ideas than we can. Now, we're going to move from this Ultra Beast to another. Basket, talk about that awful-looking Buzzwole DX.
You don't like the way it looks? I think it looks awesome.
Well, No, I don't like Buzzwole DX in general. This is the whole reason why I bought Moon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on.
So, it's a fighting 190 HP Pokemon. It's first attack for one fighting. It has Jet Punch, 30 damage. This attack does 30 damage to one of your opponent's benched Pokemon. And then for 3 fighting, it has Knuckle Impact, 160 damage, and this Pokemon can attack during your next turn. For the same cost, 3 fighting, Absorption GX, 40 times damage. This attack does 40 damage for each of your remaining prize cards. I like Jet Punch. I like that attack, honestly. I think it's pretty cool. Absorption GX is pretty sweet when you're behind. So,
okay. What about you, Gator?
I also am not a big fan of the aesthetic appearance of this Pokemon. It's very muscly in an awkward way. I'm just not comfortable with the bug muscles. It's kind
of weird. Yeah, muscles, bug, really not that big of a combination.
So, with strong energy still in the format, Jet Punch is hitting 50 to the front, usually. Yeah. And that number is pretty relevant, especially when you're talking about setting up knockouts for later in the game.
Yeah.
Putting 50 damage on an Alolan Vulpix puts that Alolan Ninetales out of that 210 where you have to really reach for it into much more manageable numbers. And 30 damage to the
bench Pokemon is not insignificant with a lot of 60 HP basics running around.
Yeah.
I honestly think that third attack is way overcosted. Just three straight fighting energy is kind of tough. But this Pokemon is also a max elixir target, so...
It is.
And you can get a whole bench set of them up with one Brigetti. And then the Absorption GX is not my favorite attack for a GX attack, so... I don't know, man. It's hard with psychic Pokemon, because again, if you play cards that ramp this guy up, then Garbodor eats it alive. And yeah. If you start attaching too much, it's just kind of tricky. That 190 HP is really nice. So, again, as my answer to most of these Ultra Beasts is, eh.
I'm in the same boat. I agree with Gator. That Jet Bunch for just one fighting, 30 damage on the bench. 50 damage if you have a strong energy on it to the active. And if you have a choice fan and it's a GX, we're talking about already 80 damage you're hitting for just one strong energy. Not bad, honestly. That's pretty decent. Knuckle Impact 3 energy is... Fighting energy is kind of hard if you able. But at the same time, I do play, for example, Lycanroc, which uses a... Carbon Break, which allows you to grab even strong energies from your discard pile. So you could theoretically grab those strong energies and some fighting energies, potentially be able to do 200 damage if you're able to attach two strong energies in one fighting. And then you can just switch it around using Lysander, I'm sorry, your boy Guzma. So it has potential. It's just a little bit expensive and a little bit of setup required. Absorption, I'm not that big of a fan of it because I like using GX attack as a, oh, I'm in trouble. I need to get out of this trouble. And if you have more prices, no, actually, then I just contradicted myself. Yes, this is exactly what this card does. If you're losing, if you have more, lots of prizes, then you're able to deal a lot of damage. But, it is very situational. I might see it working with Carbon Break. I do not know.
So most of the testing partners for it right now are Garb, just lock mm-hmm. doing ability lock. And it's important to keep in mind that it's depending on how popular Zoroark GX gets and how much play Drampa sees and how much play Silvally GX sees. Fighting, hitting for weakness is not insignificant right now, so that's also another check in this card's favor.
I do. So let's go ahead and give it a rating basket. I'll start with you.
I'm going to give it an effective.
Okay. What about you, Gator?
Effective.
Effective as well. So there we go. Another Ultra Beast that hits effective across the board. These Ultra Beasts are kind of, as Gator says... So, let's see if that trend continues. Now, moving on to our next Pokemon. Sorry. We have another weird-looking Ultra Beast, and that is Cartana.
Meme Lord GX.
Who?
It's Meme Lord GX.
Meme it's Lord.
Like, it's Meme Lord. Did you guys not see what happened at pre-release when Guzzlord GX hit the deck? We're talking one Guzzlord GX and 39, count them, 39 energies. And I'll tell you guys why, and you'll see. So this is basic dark Pokemon with 210. You heard that right, basic with 210.
Dang.
Its first attack for one darkness, eat sloppily, discard the top 5 cards of your deck. If any of those cards are energy cards, attach them to this Pokemon. And then for 3 dark and a double colorless, Tyrannical Hole, which I feel like should be bleeped, 180 damage, a clean 180, just Tyrannical Hole, 180. And then for 5 darkness, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 darkness, Glutton GX does 100 damage. If your opponent's Pokemon's knocked out by damage from this attack, take 2 more prize cards.
God.
It's weak to fighting, resistant to psychic, and it has a retreat cost of 4.
Wow. Huh. I should start this time around. HP, ridiculous. 210 for a basic? What world are we living in that allows such a thing to exist? That's ridiculous. The ability to be to grab, is it 5 cards from your deck? And if it's anything energy attached to it? As well, crazy. And its attack, 180 damage straight off the bat. Doesn't matter the amount of... doesn't matter the amount of energy required. 180 straight off the out of the cuff. Not to mention that we can attach that a Fighting Fury belt. That's 190 plus 150, 250 HP. That's ridiculous. It really is. I mean, it requires you to build one weird, crazy deck. That's the con. Where you are making a deck where it's like 70% energies and just 30% everything else. It's weird. Basket, what do you think?
I love this card. I'm buying it right when it comes out for all kinds of shenanigans. I think this card is...
It does look like a fun deck.
Yeah, yes. And I think continue. This card is gonna just be... Personally, I think it's gonna be huge because the setup's simple. Its GX attack is freaking awesome as far as I'm concerned. And, yeah, because if it's not one-hit KOing everything after you do the first attack... eat sloppily, then
you're doing it wrong.
Because there are ones that, you know, obviously 180 isn't going to kill straight out. So you hit them for the 180, then you do the GX attack, and the only thing that's not going to be one hit KO'd by 180 would be another GX, as far as I'm aware, and or EX, yeah, or whatever. So you would get two prize cards. So you do Tyrannical Hole, 180 on something that has 210 or whatever, then Glutton GX the next turn, and now you're taking 4 cards away. You just have to hit one more time.
Yep.
One more time and you're done. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Gator, what about you?
So, everyone who's played the Pokemon trading card game online has come across someone running a Typhlosion deck. Especially if you've ever played Me or Thatch.
It's so much fun, though. Anyway, continue.
The thing with that deck is it's mostly energy. It's running something like 20-something energy usually, because Typhlosion's attack does 80 times the amount of energy you discard off of the attack, and I think it's like 3 or 4 that you discard at once. So, honestly, what is stopping someone from going 56 Dark, 4 Guzzler GX?
Yeah.
Just short of a something that just shuts down basics like a Hoopa or a Jolteon EX, this card is, you know, I gotta give a shout out to Sublime. You know, we miss you, buddy. He's not dead. He's just not here. But he's a big fan of cards that make it more economical for players to play. I think this is going to be a very quick and dirty, easy deck to make for somebody that just wants to, like, sit down with their friends and play some Pokemon. Because, like Basket said, it's 4 prizes if you attack right.
Yep.
It's just straight 4 prizes.
It's ridiculous. And you don't even have to just play, 56 energies and 4 Gustlords. You can add some trainers, Ninja Boys.
No, you don't even run those because...
No?
You just want pure consistency.
Okay.
Because eat sloppily, like, if you discard the top 5 cards of your deck, you don't want to miss any of your attachments, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying, 56 and 4, like, your odds are just super good to not... To every hit, every sleep, eat sloppily.
Gotcha.
And then, meanwhile, if you get one, you're still setting one up on the bench, potentially, because you're top decking all dark energies.
That's interesting. Wow, I really don't know what to give this card. I'm gonna say effective again. Because it's a great gimmick. It might be a successful gimmick, but it is still a gimmick. It only works if we do this one deck. So I'm just going to say effective. What about you, Basket?
I'm calling it super effective. I mean, I think that, yeah.
Really?
I mean, I think that Guzzler GX has a whole lot of potential. All you really need to do, I mean, there's a lot of ways to play around with the deck because, yes, like, you're 100% consistent with just doing the 56 Dark Energies and 4 Guzzlords. I would want to make sure that I could get another Guzzlord on the bench just in case it does get KO'd. So for that, like, I don't know. I mean, 4 Bridgets and 4 Guzzlord GXs and the rest Dark Energy? I mean, why not?
Yeah. Okay, what about you, Gator?
Effective.
Okay.
So you got 2 effective and 1 very effective. That's one interesting card. It really is. It's one of those cards that you sit back and you say, how did we ever get to this point? It's just, it's weird, it's fun, it's crazy, I love it, and it's well welcome into the game. Now let's go and continue on to another GX, Cortana GX. It's a metal this time around with 170 HP. It has 1 bait ability and 2 attacks. Its ability Slice Off. When you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench during your turn, you may discard a special energy from one of your opponent's Pokemon. Then you have its first attack for 1 metal and 2 colorless. Gale Blade, 70 damage. You may shuffle this Pokemon and all cards attached to it into your deck. And then we have Blade GX for 1 metal. Take a prize card. And that's about it. Its weakness is fire, its resistance is psychic, and its retreat cost is 1. I'm going to say, go ahead and start this by saying, I really don't like this card at all. But let's go ahead and continue on. Gator, what about you?
Surprisingly, I think this is probably one of the strongest of the super of the Ultra Beasts.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Why? How so?
What, you start it. 1 metal, take a prize card. You are no longer obligated to play a 7-card game. That's pretty significant right now with a lot of these, basics running around. Number 2, targeting a special energy could be, cause it just says you may discard a special energy from one of your opponent's Pokemon. So if they're setting something up on the bench, if they've got, a Drampa that's raring to go, if they've got a Galissapod on the bench, that's not insignificant. The attack is kind of lackluster, but let's be honest, hitting for 140 damage on a weakness is pretty solid. And hitting 70 damage, again, is not insignificant when it comes to knocking out these basic Pokemon that are going to be the start of an evolution line. The second effect being that it's a may shuffle instead of you have to shuffle makes that useful in case somebody wants to knock this out. Don't get me wrong, I don't see making a Cortana GX deck, but in a future Steel deck, I think this could be it's a very efficient GX attack where you can then abuse cards like Hala.
Okay, what about you, Basket?
Being able to just discard a special energy is awesome, and not having to use that as an item card and having a card that you can pull up with Acerola or whatever to pull back and play it again, I think that's cool. It'll work with disruption decks. I believe Blade GX will help out at least at the very least having this in a tech card with your Metagross, only because a lot of times people will throw out, you know, a regular basic or something because they don't want to lose 2 prize cards. And you take it out and then you throw this thing out and you get your 2, you know, for free, essentially. If they are able to make it so that if they are able to make it into a 7-card game, then you're able to pull that last one out no problem. I think... And also the fact that it just costs one single metal energy means that it can be splashed into any deck that's running rainbow energy. So I think it'll be a useful tech card at the very least.
See, all of your points are interesting, but it still doesn't convince me that this is a bad card. Slice Off might seem good in paper, but we still have Plumerina. We have other methods of getting rid of special energies that doesn't cost you space on your bench. This costs you space on your bench. Its attack, it's GX Attack Blade. Yes, you take one prize, but there are other ways. I mean, there are other GX attacks that will guarantee you two prizes and just one. And remember, this will grant you one prize, but it will not knock out any Pokemon from your opponent. So you still have to deal with whatever Pokemon he has already set up. So it's not really helping you in defensive, it's just helping you grabbing one prize. So if you can't knock out a Pokemon, what's the point of grabbing one prize? Other than, yes, that means you only have five prizes that you have to draw. So it still doesn't really make that much of a sense. Its attack is useless, so I'm not even going to cover that. It's just, 70 damage, it goes back to your deck. It's ridiculous. So it just still, to me, special energies, there's 1,000 cards that can get rid of special energies right now. Even Lycanroc, GX, the promo version, can get rid of special energy with just 2 energies. It really isn't that great. So for me, at least, I'm going to go ahead and rate this. Not very effective, guys. I mean, I don't see this being used, not even in metal decks. What about you, Gator?
I'd like to point out, Jushiro also thought Talonflame was bad. Effective. Effective lean towards super effective.
Fair point. What about you, Basket?
I'm going to say effective. Its ability is strong, and in a meta where using item cards to discard energies can be a downfall. I think that this
We have supporter cards that does this!
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have different costs, and this one's a special energy anywhere on the board. So,
Yeah.
Plus, it's a nice energy sink. So if you need to attach with something like Registeel or whatever, you can send it out and send it back in the deck and recycle that energy. So that's also nice.
Okay. Very well. We have two effectives and one not very effective for Cortana GX. That's one Ultra Beast. Let's go ahead and move on from the weird and crazy Ultra Beast from another dimension to some type of god? I don't know. It's Xerneas. Go ahead and take it away, Basket.
All right. So, Xerneas. Fairy typing, obviously. HP 130. For one colorless, it has the attack lead. Search your deck for a supporter card, reveal it, and put it into your hand, then shuffle your deck. For the cost of 3 fairy energy, it has an attack called Bright Horns, which does 130 damage, and this Pokemon can't use Bright Horns during your next turn. Times 2 weakness to metal, resists dark, retreat cost 2.
Let's start with you, Basket. What do you think about Xerneas here?
Well, I think that it's... Personally, honestly, I think it's trash.
I have to agree.
I don't really see anything that... Okay, so if it was able to hit 4 damage on anything that was playable right now that had fairy weakness, which I can't think of anything right now that's like in the meta that would be a target you would want to hit, then maybe, because 260 would... kill pretty much anything. But then you wouldn't be able to...
There's no dragons that are worth that, though. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Pokemon wouldn't be able to use that attack the next turn, so that would be dumb. And it has a retreat cost, which means that you wouldn't be able to just switch it out for another Xerneas, which creates more of an issue. I think it's a really crappy... Tapu Lele, essentially, like the worst like,
yeah, the worst possible version of it. Yeah. I think you're being even a little bit generous. I mean, Double Lele is an ability you activate on the go when you place it. I mean, this doesn't even reach that level. Its lead is useless in general, and its attack requiring 3 energies just to do 130 damage is useless. Weakness to metal means that your weakness against Metagross, not considering that no one plays Metagross that much. Its resistance to darkness, it's okay. Its retreat cost 2. It's just useless. It's useless, Xerneas. I don't like it. What about you, Gator?
I think it's an interesting contrast to the Avetal that got printed in Shining Legends. Because, you know, one has to come with the other. Yeah, this is the worst Xerneas that we have available to us right now. Mm-hmm. I say this one takes the cake because even, you know, Rainbow Force Xerneas does more. There's the Geomancy Xerneas that you definitely want to run if you're running Xerneas Break. Yeah, this is just not a great implementation of a legendary Pokemon. So, not very effective.
Across the board, I can guess. So, let's go ahead and move on. Sorry, Xerneas, try again. It can't really complain. Every single version of Xerneas until this point has been a decent card, except this one. So, it's sad, but it has to happen. So, let's move on quickly to Alolan Exeggutor GX. Does it suck as much as the version in the video game? I don't know. Let's ask Gator. Gator, take it away.
Speaking of Pokemon that'd be knocked out by a Xerneas, Alolan Exeggutor GX is a dragon with 220 hit points, stage 1, evolving from Exeggcute. For 1 grass energy, Tropical Head, this attack does 20 damage times the amount of energy attached to this Pokemon to one of your opponent's Pokemon. Don't apply weakness and resistance for bench Pokemon. That means it is a snipe. It can go anywhere on the board. Its second attack for a grass and 3 colorless, Dragon Hammer, does 120 damage, and your opponent's active Pokemon is now confused. And for the same cost, a grass and 3 colorless, Tower Go Round GX, 180 damage, move any number of energy from your Pokemon to your other Pokemon in any way you like. Weakness to Fairy, no resistance, retreat cost of 3.
Weakness to Fairy, retreat cost 3. Gator, let's start with you. What do you think of Alolan Exeggutor?
There's going to be people that are trying to make this a deck with the Venusaur from Shining Legends. Don't be one of those people. This is... yeah, it's nice to snipe, but let's be honest here. How much damage are you really able to do with this snipe attack? 20 times the amount of energy attached to this Pokemon. You really need to start getting numbers like... Even 5 energy, you're only doing 100 damage, which is two-shotting things, but then this thing is easy to two-shot with only 220. The 2 110 attacks, knockout. And with Gardevoir being best deck in the format, being weak to Fairy is not insignificant right now.
Yep, that's the biggest problem that I see with this deck, is the fact that it is weak to Fairy and Gardevoir is a thing. Its first attack, I do love it. I mean, Kiawe, if you start the game, you play Execute, you play Kiawe on your first turn, you put 4 energies on it, next it comes around... your opponent,
but you're didn't running knock fire out energy though. Like that's the thing. Like Kiawe is fire energy, so you need grass energy to attack. So then you're playing with mixed energy costs. Like
Kiawe is not just fire energy.
Yeah, it is.
Kiawe is all energies. No, it's all energies. Pretty sure it's all energies. Give me a second while we verify this, ladies and gentlemen. Give me a second. Really sure it's all energies.
Watch Jushiro love me even more. He's arguing with a judge. Guys, you should never argue with a judge, and if you are going to argue with a judge, go to the head judge.
That is
and
very
as
true.
Jushiro reads the card text.
It is off just four.
Jushiro,
yep,
could you read that card text of Kiawe for
yes.
me, please?
Yes, I do. I can read it. It's search your deck for up to 4 or 5 energies cards and attach it to one of your Pokemon, then shuffle it. Boy, Gator is 100% right. I don't know why I even question it. It's ridiculous. anyway, continue on, Gator.
I'll just say it. Like, that's not going to power this guy up, because then you're running mixed energy.
Yeah.
So,
Basket, like, I pass this one to you, buddy. See, what redeem this card in my eyes.
Well, like, what if... I can't really do that for you. Well, I mean, okay. You could do the dumbbells item card where tool card, and that would bring it up to 260, if I'm not mistaken. So that would give us some extra HP. I really like the attack Tropical Head, like in theory. I wouldn't want it on a 220 stage one GX. You know, I'd want it on like some awesome regular basic, you know? And then it would be really cool. And it's I don't know of any way to accelerate grass energy to any like reasonable level for this card. And I don't know. I mean, I really like that attack, and I want to like this card, but I can't.
Yeah. Same with me. I mean, I thought Kiawa worked. Obviously, I was wrong, because why do I ever dare question Gator? But it just doesn't do enough for me. Its second attack is not good at all. Its GX attack, I've seen better GX attacks. Just in general. So I'm just going to go ahead and rate this as not very effective. Gator.
Not very effective.
And Basket.
Not very effective.
Okay, so going to move on. Oof, it's going to be a long episode, guys. It's going to be a long episode with not a satisfying ending. So we're going to move on to our next Pokemon, and that is Miltank. Interesting. Miltank is back with 100 HP being a basic Pokemon ability and an attack. Moon Moon Malt. As long as this Pokemon is your active Pokemon, whenever you attach an energy from your hand to one of your Pokemon, heal 90 damage from that Pokemon. And then you have Sit Down Splash for 60 damage. Flip a coin. If heads, this attack does 30 more. Its weakness is fighting, which it costs 2. Basket, what do you think about Miltank here?
Personally, I think that this thing can be splashed in anything because it's a basic and its ability to heal 90 damage from any Pokemon you put in any energy to is pretty awesome. I can't think of a deck right now that would super benefit from this. I'm sure there's some sort of like rogue deck or something that I've played against that I haven't been, that I'm not thinking of. But I really like the ability. I just don't know what to do with it.
No, that's a fair assessment. Gator.
Same thing. This card's all about the ability.
Yep, it is. I mean, it's good. It's great. I mean, 90 HP is a decent amount of damage to heal. It just takes a space in your bench. So is it worth it? That's the question. And I don't know if I can answer that question right now. So let's go move on and let's rate this real quick. Basket, based on that, what do you think?
You can put a Fighting Fury belt on it, give it 140 HP, which could let it be in the active position longer, since it has to be active in order to get this benefit.
Yeah, but you want a Float Stone on it so you can get it out of the active so you can attack.
Right, you're correct. But with Guzma being so prevalent, and I guess standing.
Yeah, you might want to put the Float Stone on another Pokemon, move that, switch it to Miltank, then use the ability, and then go ahead and Guzma it out, but you still need a Guzma on your hand, though.
Well, yeah, but I was also thinking about Zoroark with a Float Stone. I mean, if you were able to find a deck with that, then yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna give it a not very effective. Just because of the fact that it has to be your active. I mean, I would take, you know, 60 damage on the bench or 50 damage on the bench and be super excited about that. But the fact that it has to be your active and it has such low HP, it's hard.
Yep, I agree. What about you, Gator?
Not very effective.
Yep, same knee. Not very effective. It's just, its ability, nice if it didn't have that active part of it. If it had, if it wasn't an active Pokemon ability, sure, I would have even given it an effective. But being that you needed to be on your active position just doesn't cut it for me. So let's go ahead and move on. That's not very effective across the board for Polo Miltank. So let's move on to Altaria. Basket, take it away.
All right, so it's a colorless, HP 90. For one colorless, it has Dragon Melody. Flip a coin if heads. Search your deck for a normal Pokemon and play it onto your bench. Then shuffle your deck.
That's a dragon Pokemon.
Yeah.
Dragon, not normal.
Well, it says N.
Grab. Yeah, because
C is colorless. N is dragon.
Oh, weird. Why is N dragon?
Is D,
because dragon.
Yeah.
D is dark.
Okay. D is dark.
Okay, that's weird. All right, my bad. Sorry. Flip a coin of heads, search your deck for a dragon Pokemon, and play it onto your bench. Then shuffle your deck. For a colorless, Cotton Guard, 30 damage. During your opponent's next turn, this Pokemon takes 30 less damage from attacks after applying weakness and resistance. Weakness, lightning times 2, resistance to fighting, retreat cost 1.
I love that it says, after applying weakness and resistance, like this card was anything other than colorless. Right. I don't like it. Not very effective for me. I'm not even going to really...
Whoa. Okay, so this card is here because... What is that first attack? If you get the coin flip, you search your deck for a dragon Pokemon. Yeah, not a basic dragon Pokemon. A dragon Pokemon.
Okay.
So that means you could pull out a Koma OGX.
Why would you, though?
You could pull out a Noivern GX.
Why would you, though?
You could. That's the thing, though. Like, this is one of those things. Anytime you can cheat the evolution rule, the card needs to be looked at.
I understand that, but
the rules of the game are in effect right now. So that makes this card, those dragon Pokemon, struggle right now because they're higher. Like, you have to evolve to get to them. You got to do these other things to get them out there, and then they're not very good. But if you can cheat them into play,
I mean,
it makes you relook at every dragon Pokemon in the format available right now, and every dragon Pokemon that comes out in the future. I mean,
it doesn't. What does this attack allows me to do that an Ultra Ball doesn't let me do?
Put a Stage 2 directly on your bench.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't do that with an Ultra Ball.
Oh, it's directly to your bench.
Yeah, it's directly.
Cheats the evolution.
And it's any stage at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
That changes things.
Okay. Yes!
Fair enough, but again, sorry, I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, that's why I said it doesn't specify a basic. Just a dragon.
Interesting. Still, what would you play with this? I mean, other than Noivern GX, I think, is the one that comes to mind.
Well, and Ko'omo, like, their Ko'omo is bad because it's a stage 2 and it's bad. If it's a basic, it gets a lot better.
Yeah, and also, expanded is a thing.
Yes. Lots of fun and interesting evil dragon types.
Okay, fair enough. Let's give it a rating. Basket, what do you give it?
I give it an effective with a tentative super effective, because I did not look at the available dragon types in expanded right now, so.
Of course. Gator, what do you give it?
I give it a not very effective right now.
Okay.
But this is a card that I would not be surprised pops up in a deck, and it's like, oh, wow, nobody was expecting that. Well, you heard it here first.
Okay. I give it a not very effective. I mean, you guys gave it a good points, but... Yeah, I mean, what dragon do you want to play? I mean, if it were any other type, fine, but dragon, I don't see it working at all. So, moving on. So, two not very effective and one effective for Altaria. We're going to move on then to a weird Pokemon. It has two legs, an X for a head. It is type Gnaw. Gator, talk about type Gnaw and its evolution.
All right, guys. So, here we are with the pseudo-legendary. We have type Gnaw, who is a colorless, of course, with 110 hit points. It is a basic. But that is not insignificant. It is the basic of a stage 1 line with 110 hit points. I'd just like to point that out. For a double colorless, armor press, 30 damage. Your opponent during your next opponent's next turn, this Pokemon takes 30 less damage from attacks after applying weakness and resistance. For 3 colorless, you're doing slash call for 70. You're weak to fighting, and your retreat cost is 2. Then you've got Silvally GX, which is a colorless with 210 hit points. And it evolves from Titanol, of course. And its ability, Gyro Unit, your basic Pokemon in play have no retreat cost. So that Mil Tank problem gets a lot easier with this card. For 3 colorless, Turbo Drive, 120 damage, and attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to one of your bench Pokemon. And its GX attack we've seen before, Rebel GX, 50 times damage. This attack does 50 damage for each of your opponent's benched Pokemon. Weak to fighting, retreat cost of 2.
Basket, let's start with you this time around. What do you think about these duo?
So, basically, I think, personally, that once they pull out the rest of those memory cards, then this has the potential to basically one-shot everything for 3 colorless. So, 2 attachments, the ability to, it could one-shot everything because it gets its little memory drives for the different types. You just throw a choice band on there, and it's hitting everything for double damage.
You can't add a choice. You can't add a choice band if it's got the memory.
Oh, you're right.
But yeah, Jishiro, do you want to go over what the memories are?
So the memories right now are the fighting memory, which is you attach it and it becomes a fighting Pokemon. The other memory you can find is the psychic memory, which you attach it and it becomes a psychic Pokemon. These are the two that are currently available, which basically gives me my idea where to go with that Pokemon. So here's the deal. It might look good in paper, but this Pokemon, other than its ability, does exactly the same thing as Lycanroc GX promo. It deals for 2 less damage, does less damage, yes, 30 damage, and you detach any energy from your opponent. And then its ability mirrors the Midnight form of the Lycanroc GX, which is exactly the same thing, 50 times the amount of Pokemon on your opponent's bench. I don't like this card, honestly. If you're gonna attach a fighting memory on this thing, just play a Lycanroc Midnight form or Lycanroc non-promo form, the midday form. If you're playing a psychic, there are plenty of other psychic Pokemon to play with this that are actually better than this. At least that's my opinion. What about you, Gator?
Jushiro is wrong, guys. Strong statement, and here's how I'm going to back it up. So, Pokemon has confirmed that we are getting 2 other psychic memories coming out in the next set.
Well, 2 psychic memories? Okay.
Or not 2 psychic memories, 2 other memory cards. Okay. I think it's Lightning and Fire. So, they're not just going to let this Pokemon sit with 4 different ones. They're going to make them for all the different sets. So, just looking into the future... But put that off to the side for the second.
Yeah, we're talking about this set right now. Yeah.
Right now. So this card being colorless can be splashed into any deck, first of all. Second of all, that first attack is not insignificant with a lot of big basics that are still able to be piloted. If you're playing any kind of toolbox deck, you know for a fact there are so many big basic Pokemon. And just for the ability to have free retreat.
Yes.
No, it's not an attack.
You mean the ability is what I meant to say. I'm so sorry.
The ability. Yeah. So that if Manaphy gets splashed into a ton of things just for the retreat cost ability, then this card could also see play just for that. Second of all, hitting 120 and attach an accelerating energy out of the discard is pretty freaking nice. 120 for 3, that's a double colorless and whatever attachment. And it's pretty easy to stream these. So you can be setting up another one on the bench while you're attacking with this one. And then you combine the fact that you can add that memory card in and be dealing out double damage and hitting 240. That's pretty sick. So I am very much in favor of this card. Of all the GXs in the set, this one definitely became my favorite when I realized they were going to add the other memory cards to it. It is a one of the mascot Pokemon for the series, and I would not be surprised if this gets a lot more love in the future.
No, given the information now that there are going to be more memories, fine, yes, it will be played more. I still don't like it, honestly. That's completely honest. Yes, you have a free retreat cost. Flintstone is still there. I mean, it's a stage one that has a great ability. Fine. It doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry. There are better ways of getting basic energies from your discard pile onto your bench. We just discussed Registeel does that for metal. Evelta does that for dark. I can mention almost every type. There's a Pokemon that can do this for a lot less energies and not requiring two price energies.
Yeah, but they're not hitting 120 either.
Yeah, but they don't cost two price cards either. Because if you're using a GX Pokemon, something that costs you two prices if it dies to set up your Pokemon, it's different that you can say a non-GX Pokemon setting up your other cards, it's better. Because you don't cost that much. It doesn't cost two prices.
It's still two-shotting things.
That is very true, but that's why you're setting up your other cards for it to be shooting up on those amount of damage. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of Mega Manectric, which did 110 damage and you were able to get two energies from your discard pile onto your bench. But those are two energies, right? That's extreme acceleration. This does the exact same thing for 10 more damage and one less energy. I still prefer
Mega. Yeah, but it's got math on its side with 210. Think about how hard it is to knock out a Alolan Vulpix for right now. 210 is not an irrelevant number to have.
Oh, no, it is not. I am not completely discarding this card as in it's completely useless. I'm just saying there are just better things to play right now than this. In every single type, whether you're using, depending on what you're using it for, if you're looking for something to set up.
Guys, I got Jushiro right here. Jushiro, you can Kiawe to this.
Okay.
It'll take fire energy. There you go. You can use your boy Kiawe. Boom. Done. Now you love this card.
Fine. I mean, yeah, you can Kiawe. You can put one extra energy than it actually needs. And then you're hitting for what? For the Fighting Fury Belt. Fighting memory, you're hitting for fighting or psychic. I still don't like it, guys. I'm sorry. It's just, I don't see this card getting any good. Basket, you've been really silent here. Please chime in.
I've been letting you guys battle it out. So the mere fact that, this is something that can hit for double damage, on two different types for 240 to me, makes this extremely playable. And then you add on the fact that now any basic you put on to help power this thing up is now going to have no retreat cost. And then you attach basic energies to any of your other Pokemon, and it's any basic energy to any one of your benched Pokemon. I don't see how... Like, personally, I can't see how this card is not, like, awesome to you, personally.
That's understandable.
Because here's the thing, right? Like, there's a lot of different cards that, that people play, that, you know, they're using their abilities for, or they're doing things like that. And it's stuff that either they can get away with just putting colorless on, or that they're putting, rainbow energy on or whatever to try and splash them into their deck and get them working. And the versatility of being able to switch between things to switch between those memory cards it's not Sneasel. It's Weavile has the Tearaway. Mm-hmm. So you're able to remove that card from that tool card and put on a new one if they try and stall.
Or just use a field blower. Like, you could field blower yourself.
Yeah.
Perfectly valid.
Yeah. Completely valid. Just a waste of your field blower. That's my point. I mean, yes, I see your guys' point.
It's not a waste of your field blower, though, if you're putting on another card that's going to do double damage.
Well, yes, because you're completely right now. I am basing my whole reaction on the two memories that we have right now in this set, right?
And I'm not fighting is relevant because you're knocking out things like Drampus and Zoroark, and Psychic's relevant because there's so many things that are weak to Psychic, including Garb. But this one shots Garb anyway because it hits 120, so irrelevant on Garb.
Yeah, exactly. So it's irrelevant in Garb. Right? Fighting energy, why would you play this on a fighting deck? I don't understand. You have carving break that gets you two energies from your discard pile.
You play it in a deck that's weak to fighting.
Why are you talking about playing it in a fighting deck or playing it as a fighting deck? You would be playing it as a versatility to be able to switch between fighting and psychic. I don't think we're going to get any farther here, but I think we should just do our effectiveness rating.
Yeah. Yes. I just graded effective. It's not that great.
Super effective.
I'm going to say it's super effective.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like this card. I might be wrong. I probably am. I'm always am. I don't like it. Well, I'll let you know. I'll let you guys know on our next We Were Wrong episode when I admit that this is a bad card. I mean, I still give it an effective. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying that you guys are just way too hype for this, and it's not that good. It honestly is not.
Stay hype.
So let's move on from Sylvanas GX to the next one. That's Formosa GX, another Ultra Beast.
Right now, I don't mean to interrupt you, Shiro, but I want to let the audience know these three cards that we're going to talk about, Formosa, Celesteela, and Zerkatree, are going to come out in a separate promos.
Yeah.
These are not included in the set, but we wouldn't be able to talk about them any other time. So we are throwing these in because they are coming out in Crimson Invasion promos. They're just not coming out in the cards you can pull out of the set.
Yeah, correct. So let's go ahead and deal with those. So Formosa is another Ultra Beast. It's a GX basic, 170 HP. It has three attacks. Its first attack, fast raid for 30 damage for one grass. If you go first, you can use this attack on your first turn. We've seen this before in other cards like Latios GX. Mm-hmm. So we have Cruel Spike for 60 damage for two grass energies. Your opponent active Pokemon is now confused. And then we have Beauty GX for the same amount of energy cards. 50 damage. This attack does 50 damage for each prize card your opponent has taken. It's weakness to fire. It's Vegeta cost 1. Let's discuss. Starting with you, Gator, what do you think of Formosa?
When I see this card, I see splashable. I don't see this as a deck running around it, but for just two grass, or one grass to fast raid, or the two grass for the GX attack, that's really cost efficient. Especially late game as a sweeper. I could see this being included as a late game sweeper for Tapu Bulu. Just going out there, your opponent has managed to get lucky and take four Tapu Bulus. Well, here we go. Two grass, 200 damage. GG. So I really like this card for that, but not as its own deck.
Okay. What about you, Basket? 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 I think we lost Basket there from the time being. I like this card. I mean, as long as it's decent, one grass for 30 with the potential of doing it on your first turn, it's not entirely bad. Its second attack is useless. Its GX attack is decent. It might be decent. I'm gonna go with the effective at best, if not very effective. What about you, Gator?
I'd say it's effective, and I think Cruel Spike could be late game sweeper for this card. But if you do end up starting it, tapping something for 30 is kind of rude, especially if you're going first. If they've started in a Lowland Vulpix or a Ralts or
Magikarp.
Magic. Oh, man, if they start Magikarp, GG. Or, there's a lot of decks now that are trying to run this Shiny Mew, and it's only got 30 hit points, so that's not insignificant either if that card becomes big. I would call it effective, but it's got a space. I would just have one or two laying around just in case.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to go ahead and give you guys a moment. We're going to go ahead and take a break. It's been long enough. It's been already an hour since we began the break. So we're going to take another break so Basket can come back in. And we'll be back for more review on Crimson Invasions. And who knows? Maybe me, Gator, and Basket can fight more. Because it's exciting and fun. We'll be right back, guys. Hey guys, Yoshiro here. So due to some technical issues we had with the program we were using to record this podcast, this episode, we lost the last segment. Unfortunately, did not save correctly, and we couldn't re-record because both Gator and Basket had other things. They had a life, of course, and they couldn't come back to re-record that whole section. So we do apologize for the inconvenience. We will, however, finish the recording and provided to you guys on the next episode as a bonus part of that show, so please stay tuned for that. Once again, I apologize for the inconvenience. We are trying our best here to provide you with a better quality show, and that sometimes means using new programs, which is the case that we did this time, using a new program, and we had a slight little mishap there. But that doesn't mean that the show cannot go on. We still have your mail that we did read, and that obviously, we did not lose that. So, we're going to give you the review, the last part of the review on the next episode. So, stay tuned for that. Now, without any further ado, let's go into Trainer's Mail.
It's Trainer's Mail.
And we are back. It is Trainer's Mail time, and we're going to go ahead and tackle your guys' emails real quick. So let's go ahead and start with our first email. Gator, take it away.
All right, we got Doc McStuffles. He says, Yoshiro and men. That's really presumptuous of you, Doc McStuffles. I'll do
considering
you a solid
that all our costs worth. Go ahead.
I'll do you a solid and keep it short today. Necroco is still coming together, but the consistency is not there. Getting set up and rolling quick seems to be the key, but getting the right mons out sometimes feels impossible. Could really use some Lele's, I bet. Anywho, let me throw my deck list at you guys and see if you can find any ways I could make this deck more consistent. Anywho, I think it's about time I work on my first meta deck. Right now I'm leaning Leekabulu. I really enjoy the way it crushes through thoroughly every time I face it. Keeping on, fellas, you do the best. P.S.
Thank you.
Enhanced Hammer, Doc McStuffles. All right, McStuffles, man, that's what we're going to tell you. You know we're going to tell you to add Lele and Bridget. If you add Lele and Brigetti, then you, like, get the consistency. If not, you need to up your Bridget counts in this list. Then there's no real reason for you to play a one of Evo Soda. Three Ultra Ball. Mm-hmm. If you're playing Ultra Ball, you don't play three, you play four. Get rid of the random receivers. That's just no. Just kill the random receivers.
Yeah. Don't play that.
You don't need all of these float stone either, because you've got you're trying to do too much with this deck. You cut the Drampa, cut the EV Espeon because that's getting too cute. And if you've got the Espeon EX is the one you want, but if you've got the Shining Jirachi, that's fine. Yeah, this is basically our short and sweet little shout-out to you, buddy. Thanks for listening, and thanks for writing in.
Yes, exactly. So, Basket, take it away.
All right. This is from Hens. He says, Hey, OTCG cast, it's Hens, cracking open a cold one with some ideas about Alolan Ninetales, non-GX, from Burning Shadows. So the deck has been long in the making. Started around the Burning Shadows release.
Yeah.
But because of the draft league, my focus has been a little more on the video game. However, having heard about Necroco deck from Dr. McSnuffles, oh my gosh, I can't speak right now, from Dr. McStuffles, I was inspired to give it another try. Do you have any tips at the moment? I have a few cards, but I have lots of stuff on TCGO, so suggest anything that comes to mind. Feel free to share the deck list, because there's not much of it yet. So far, there are 2 Alolan Ninetales, 4 Alolan Vulpix, 2 Alolan Sandslash, and 3 Alolan Sandshrew, 1 Glaceon EX. That's all he has so far. The idea is to only attach energy to the attacking Pokemon, and then with Sand Slash's Smash Turn, slowly chop them down while switching between it and Alolan Ninetales. This means you can max potion up the Pokemon that take damage without losing energy, because they are all on the Sand Slash, if that makes sense. Hopefully you get the drift. It's quite a loose deck so far, but hopefully with the guide of the awesome TCG cast, it might get somewhere. Thanks once more, Hens.
Alright, so Hens, what you're trying to do is similar to what Donphan used to do, and still can kind of do in Expanded, but it's just gotten weaker. You're basically hitting and running. Now, that's a pretty solid idea, but you're just not getting the damage output you need with Sand Slash, and it's kind of slow to set up. Plus, with most decks running in 2 to 3 Guzma, they can kind of get around your Alolan Ninetales lock. And it's also not really a true lock if people are able to get around it. For example, Gardevoir plays a Gallade for exactly these kinds of situations. And then several other decks, including Vikabulu, for example, have the Vikavolt that they can attack with if necessary. And anybody running a Tapu Koko promo in those decks can also hit you pretty hard as well.
Not to mention that if you're playing Garborder, it will completely shut you off.
Yeah, it just shuts you down and you get smashed in the face. So, I like the idea. You're probably better off going a stronger of the, adding a couple more Glaceon, and then I definitely want to see some water patches in your deck, just so you can accelerate faster to those, Sand Slash on the bench. But overall, this deck is kind of gimmicky, so it's going to live by the sword and die by the sword, buddy. So, good luck with it, and let us know what else you come up with.
Yeah, it's going to be fun still, so go ahead and we don't mean to discourage you if you plan to use this on just a league or with your friends. Please go ahead. It's just going to be fun. Just don't play it on a tournament. Guys, I really want to apologize. We would usually take a lot more time with your emails when you send us. I hate that you guys send us your playlist on the one episode that we're reviewing a whole set. If it weren't the case, we would have spent a whole lot more time dissecting your text list, because that's exactly what I wanted. This is what I wanted from you guys' email, to send you your deck list so we can completely dissect them and tell you our ideas. It just happens to be on an episode where it's already 3 hours long, so we really need to cut it short. So please send your emails once again. Tell us about any ideas with your playlist, and we will definitely dissect and take a long time, as long as it's not a review episode like today. So with that said, I will give you the whole rigmarole. And follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Twitch, follow us on Patreon, all that shenanigans. I'm not even going to waste time. It is closing time. But before that, Gator, as always, much love. Thank you so much for being here.
No problem, guys. Have a great time listening to this. It was fun to record.
It was definitely his basket, as always. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, and thank you guys for writing in and listening.
Yep, for sure. And then, let's cut it. You can already hear the music. We're going to end it now. We'll be back again with a scheduled episode. Thank you guys for being part of the Pokemon, the Poco TCG cast. Until next time, it's closing time. Have a good night.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.